This piece was brought to you by Brooklyn Slate, brooklynslate.com. HeritageRadioNetwork.org. This is the news.
What is vegetable forward anyway? If you can't find anyone who can answer this question, ask Chef Amanda Cohen, owner of Dirt Candy on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. She could tell you that it has to do with making beet risotto and carrot Wellington the talked about dishes at hot new restaurants, and vegetable-driven tasting menus exist and thrive in places far from the origin lands of California cuisine. In this next recording, you'll hear Amanda being interviewed by Dorothy Cann Hamilton of Chef Story regarding her journey as a chef.
Ontario is actually sort of like the produce belt. It has amazing vegetables and lots of farmers markets and lots of farms. I mean, you see sort of even now, I'll get a delivery of carrots and it'll come from Ontario. And the produce was...
Oh, wait, can I go back there and ask you how long is the growing season?
Not that long. It depends where you are. I mean, Canada's really big, so there are parts where, you know, it's 4 months, and there's parts where it can be 8 months. It just depends.
So you have Vancouver and British Columbia, like exactly. We have California.
Yeah, exactly. The food when I was young, though, I mean, I'm almost 40, so that was 40 years ago, and food has changed a lot, so I don't remember as much fresh vegetables as we got now. I mean, you did... in the end, eat a lot more sort of seasonally, and there was only sort of potatoes and carrots and turnips when I was young. And
did you like them?
Yes. Well, I mean, who doesn't love potatoes?
Well, there are a lot of people that avoid them, but root vegetables are not usually center plate. So you're an urban person at heart.
Definitely, definitely. Surprisingly, for somebody who loves vegetables, I'm not a farm girl.
I was going to get into the gardening part later, but so you came to New York as a college student, right?
Yeah.
NYU.
Yeah.
And you studied?
I studied cultural anthropology.
And why?
Well, honestly, it was because that was sort of the degree that had the least number of requirements, and I wanted to study a lot of different things, and I was interested in film and economics and politics, and so it was the degree at NYU that sort of had the least number of requirements so that I could study so many different courses. But also, I was fascinated by it, and there is this sort of, by the end of my time there, I really did sort of develop this fascination with cultures and their food and how... food brought over from, this was sort of my whole ending term, but how food brought over from another country tended to stay the same in this country, whereas it had really changed in other countries. So you see traditional foods, and often they're actually more traditional in sort of New York or Toronto or in the States than they are back in their original country. And that was something that fascinated me.
That is an interesting. So what were some of the takeaways that are with you today? How did it change your living in a Chinese culture?
Well, first of all, it was the food. I mean, really sort of the time I was vegetarian, and I had never really eaten amazing vegetarian food before. And there is a whole culture of vegetarian food, Buddhist cuisine. We'd go to these restaurants, and it was what we were being served, nothing had ever been served beforehand. I didn't know there was so many different kinds of mock meat and tofu, and what somebody could do with the food was sort of fascinating. I mean, I think we spend most of our time eating. And just the appreciation of food and how important it was in the culture is really what I...
When did you become a vegetarian?
When I was 16.
And what made you become a vegetarian?
I wish I had a better reason, but the truth is it was peer pressure. All my friends, we were vegetarian at the time. So it was about 25 years ago, and it was a really good way to rebel.
Why do you think, you know, 16-year-old girls were choosing to be vegetarians? Was it diet or?
I think actually it was partially diet, but I think also this was just sort of on the cusp of the sort of environmental movement. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being good to the earth, what was what we were being taught in school. And I think everybody sort of figured that eating animals was bad and it wasn't good for the planet. And this is what, you know, we could do to save the planet, that and recycling. It wasn't really quite well thought out. And so everybody, all my friends became vegetarians at this one time. And it was really, it was sort of shocking. I know it's hard to believe. And there was a whole vegetarian movement in the 70s and 80s. But all of a sudden, all these sort of young kids were becoming vegetarian. And my parents thought I was going to die. They were like, you will not be able to survive not, you know, not eating meat. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. Not only am I doing something good for the planet, but I've managed to really annoy my parents.
So
it's win-win.
Amanda will be on a panel at the Food Book Fair 2015 called Vegetable Forward, which will focus on enhancing the image of vegetable cuisine. To learn more, visit foodbookfair.com.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.